From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Soldier, strategist, former Secretary of State. We're talking about retired General Colin Powell. Could this key Republican throw his support behind Democrat Barack Obama? And the U.S. Supreme Court rules Ohio election officials don't have to change the way new voter registrations are verified. We'll cover this and more on our Reporters Roundtable, and we begin with John Yearwood, World Editor at the Miami Herald. How are you?
Doing great, Farai. How are you?
I'm doing great. All right. MSNBC is reporting that retired general and former Secretary of State Colin Powell is going to go on NBC's Meet the Press on Sunday. They're speculating that the loyal Republican could endorse Senator Barack Obama for president. So at this point, so close to the election, how important would that support be?
Well, it would be extremely important. You know, just when we thought that most of the dramatic moments of this election had pretty much ended, here comes another big bombshell. I think anybody would be just thrilled, whether it's Obama or whether it's McCain, would be thrilled to get Powell's endorsement. You know, notwithstanding his conviction that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, but I think he's still among the most credible of the folks out there who are yet to endorse. And I think maybe one clue that we got, Farai, in terms of where he may be leaning is that I don't remember seeing him at the Republican convention. I know you were there. You probably saw him. But I don't remember seeing him during that period.
I certainly don't remember seeing him. And I also do remember a point at a previous Republican convention where he was booed for making a remark about affirmative action. I don't know how much that stung him at the time. But this time around, I do remember a couple of moments from the conventions. One is Senator Fred Thompson, former Senator Fred Thompson, and former presidential candidate Fred Thompson, basically giving this incredible, reverent recounting of Senator John McCain's military service. But yet at the Democratic convention on the final night, they also had a parade of military officials who all supported Senator Barack Obama. So there's actually been some tussling over this. But how many... You know, what's the sense that you get? You are in the swing state of all swing states, the place where things blew up in the 2000 election. What's the sense that you get that there are undecided voters or undeclared voters in your state?
Well, I think that there are still a number of people. Indeed, that's why we're still out here swinging, if you will. But I believe that as we get closer and closer to the election, we'll see more and more people making up their minds. We're already seeing, if you look at the recent polls, that Senator Obama is doing very well in Florida, unlike what we saw Kerry do 4 years ago. As a result, President Bush won the state. But based on the ground game that we've been seeing here in Florida with Obama, it would be clearly it's a very tough state for Senator McCain to win. Senator McCain comes back to Florida. In fact, he's here today, and Senator Obama will be here on Monday, which gives you a sense that both of them really desperately think that Florida is a key to the White House for either of them.
I also want to bring in Chandra Thomas. She's a freelance print journalist based in Atlanta. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Great. So I want to move you to another topic. The election is, you know, a few weeks away, but the fight over battleground states, which we were just talking about with John, is fierce. Now, Republicans in Ohio were contesting as many as 200,000 newly registered voters. They argued that the names could not be verified with government lists, but the U.S. Supreme Court stepped in and ruled that Ohio state officials don't have to change the way new voters are verified. What do you think the significance of that ruling is?
Oh, I think it definitely points to the importance of Ohio voters. And obviously in the 2004 election, it was a margin of 118,000 votes that won the state for President Bush. And obviously it lets you know that the election is heating up and that this is showing that there is going to be a hard fight to get those swing voters in Ohio.
John, Chandra just mentioned some of the issues that came up. And in fact, Stephanie Tubbs Jones, the congresswoman who passed away, was very adamant that the 2004 election really cheated Ohio voters, particularly voters of color and low-income voters. What do you see when you think about what's going on with Acorn And we'll go on a little bit more about the FBI investigation of that community activist group for their fraudulent voter registrations. But between ACORN and these challenges to the way voters are verified, what kind of positioning is going on for the 2008 election?
Well, look, Farai, I think it's really important, and here's what's key here, that everyone who's eligible to vote should be allowed to vote. Look, I live in Florida, where we know that didn't happen a few years ago. As a result, there was a decision in the election that a lot of people thought was not the way it should have been. What I'm seeing that ACORN did here is that if they went out with a plan to get as many people registered as possible and did it in a fraudulent way, then they should pay a penalty for that. But going forward, I think what the authorities in Ohio should strive to do at every turn in this is to get everyone who is eligible to vote and have those votes counted.
Chandra, I'm going to turn more deeply to the issue of ACORN. So the FBI is now investigating this community activist group, and officials report that they've registered 1.3 million people, and they really concentrate on people who are young, poor, working class. Most of them are Democrats. Republicans have been spearheading the investigations. And do you think, basically, there have been everything from fictitious names registered, including Mickey Mouse, to people who were registering people, they're being paid by the name and they got the same people to sign up again and again. Is this investigation partisan politics, or is it time to really dig in and hold the organization accountable?
Well, I think there's actually a mixture of both. As the other guest mentioned, it is important to make sure that there is no fraud and that, that people aren't signing up, Mickey Mouse, as you mentioned. But there's also a lot of other problems with ACORN, which is kind of like if they say people with glass houses should not throw rocks. You have the brother of the founder of ACORN embezzling almost $1 million from this group. And obviously that's going to draw attention to the legitimacy of this group. And I think this whole issue regarding voter registration, especially with the closeness of the election, this really points to the intensity of this race. And as we all know, this is probably the most important race of our lifetimes. So it's just really showing how intense the battle is for these votes as we get closer to the election.
John, when you think about the media coverage of ACORN, do you think that people are doing enough fact-checking? There certainly are investigative reporters out trying to nail the story down, but there's also a lot of opinion out there. How much of it is possibly getting mixed up in people's minds?
Let me say this for a minute about also the Supreme Court, and I'll come back to your question in a second. One of the things that I think we may have seen here signaled by the Supreme Court decision today in terms of saying that to let the voting proceed is that they're indicating that they may not want to get mixed up in the middle of another election fiasco as it did several years ago. But I think part of the reason why we're not seeing maybe the kind of saturation media coverage of this is that, to some extent, it is so bizarre. I think anyone trying to make sense of it, as you mentioned, Mickey Mouse, one of my favorite quarterbacks from Dallas, Tony Romo's name is one of the ones that was put on the list, as well as many other Dallas Cowboys. Where do you begin? It is so strange. And a lot of it is coming out. And as you indicated, a number of media outlets are investigating. And I think we'll be seeing a lot more of this in the days and weeks ahead.
Chandra, can you give us a quick read on another Supreme Court issue centering around Georgia? The U.S. Supreme Court this week refused to hear death row inmate Troy Davis's case. He was convicted of the 1989 murder of a Savannah police officer. And since that trial, 7 key witnesses recanted their testimony. So how is this playing in Georgia, and what options does Davis have right now?
I think that this case is extremely important because it points to a lot of concerns that have been raised about the death penalty. And if you look at the core of this case, basically, as you mentioned, 7 of 9 witnesses, you have the attorney, you have the district attorney basically saying, well, these witnesses were, you know, cross-examined, and we asked them during the trial whether they, you know, were they coerced by the police. And if you look at the core of this, what Troy Anthony Davis's family is asking for is just that a hearing be held just to speak to these witnesses who are willing to go on record and say that they have indeed, lied or, committed perjury. And I think the real importance of this issue is, are we at a state in this country where we are willing to take someone's life when there is a high level of question as to their guilt or innocence?
Right, John, very quickly, do you think that this is essentially over in terms of court intervention from the, from anyone who might change his state?
Yeah. It appears to be over, Fry, but sadly one has to ask, after this is done, and it seems that an execution is imminent, where does his mom go to get her son back? Where does his sister go to get her brother back? Before we execute anyone in this country, I think we have to be absolutely sure that the people we're executing committed the crime for which they're being put to death.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We were talking to John Yearwood, the world editor at the Miami Herald. He joined us from the studios at the newspaper. And Chandra Thomas, a freelance print journalist based in Atlanta. She's written for Essence Magazine, People, and Time.com.